This is the BBC Home Service. I will not appear in a show which employs musicians. Farewell.
Wallace, what are you saying?
I'm sorry, Mr. Seagun. I am a member of the Announcers Union, and we've been instructed by Mr. John Snack. I tell you, I won't have any black legs in the show.
Then Ray Ellington hasn't a leg to stand on.
Stop it. I say stop it. I'm leaving.
Just a moment.
Just a moment.
You can't go.
We can't.
Cass, he's gone. And we've no orchestra.
Never mind, I say. Never mind. Let me help you. I am Adolphus Spriggs, a non-playing musician. Allow me to do all the orchestral links.
But supposing you're recognized by musicians, you'll be assassinated.
Don't worry. I have disguised myself as a bale of tobacco.
Saved in the nicotine. Very well, Spriggs.
Yes.
You can do the orchestral links. So now let's start all over again, shall we?
Wait.
This is the BBC Home Service.
By Jove, he's right, you know. We'll have to change out of these teddy boys' clothes. I thought you were on the light.
Wait a minute. What does all this mean?
Nothing at all, but I wish to make a statement.
Speak.
The Goon Show! Well done, Mr. Spriggs.
Thank you.
I'm sure nobody noticed the difference.
Look, just a moment. Isn't there an easier way of getting into this show?
Of course not. It's the suspense that keeps them interested, you see. Some of our best moments in the show have been suspenses.
Oh!
There's no need to take it so hard, Wallace. Sellers, fill him up with antifreeze and lay him in the fridge. And above all, be careful of the Tuscan salami.
The Tuscan salami?
Attention, listeners. At this point, we should have had four sharp dramatic semiquavers. And by gad, we will. Mr. Spriggs.
Thank you. It was one day during my period of office as part-time strolling prime minister that I was handed the ukulele parts for Lo Engrin. But he was out at the time. However, that night, two sound effects men knocked on the door. Come in!
Buonasera, signor. I am the King of Italy.
Splendid, Bernard Spear. Have a cigarette. You will find the machine and papers in my spare boot.
Look, please, don't joke. I come to ask just one question.
Well, make it quick. I've got to collect my Union Jack from the laundrette.
Never mind about the Indian joke, mate. What's happened to Gina, the so beautiful female Tuscan salami, what the Italian peoples are giving you as a goodwill present?
Oh, she's in the zoo with her mate.
Not in the zoo with her mate. Gina, don't you ever read the newspapers?
Not on my salary. 18 guineas for the evening news? I'd never have given that McMillan a job if I'd known what he's going to do. 40 guineas for a pencil. It's disgusting.
Stop with this. You find that so beautiful Tuscan salami, Gina, or it is war.
Dum, 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 dum.
You're getting better, Mrs. Briggs. Dear listeners, let me explain. This was terrible news, you understand. Gina was one of a pair of Tuscan salamis which were given to Britain by Italy and were the sole breeders of the rare Tuscan-type sandwich salami as used in all espresso bars and the well-known hors d'oeuvre. This is known to you all, I understand, but Greenslade, let John Snag explain. Put the record on.
Last night, over a sleepy houndstitch, a new and secret missile of terrifying potentiality was successfully tested. It is the so-called hot dog, a preheated salami fitted with a warhead.
Yes, dear listeners. And strange to relate, these fiendish weapons were not manufactured, but bred in captivity.
Dramatic chord. Lom, ton, yellow,
Boing.
You're a fiddle short there. Oh, dear you.
Inspector McGregor, the part-time Prime Minister to see you, sir.
Thank you. Here's an airing cupboard. Have fun. Now, Inspector McGregor, what's the latest on the salami situation?
Sir, it appears they got away with a female, but the male is still safe.
Who got away?
We're no quite certain, sir, but there's been a leakage.
I know. It's this cold weather. My pipes have had it too, you know.
Evidence points to the Foreign Office, sir.
It's rude to point.
Shut up, sir. Those two missing diplomats, Burgess and McTeith.
No!
Aye, aye, they fooled us all. Under the pretense of going out to buy a copy of Pravda, they took a taxi from Dover to Ostend. That's what fooled us. We thought they'd take the boat.
And then?
They took the road to Berlin.
What on earth did they take a road to Berlin for? They've got roads there already. Where are they now?
Nobody knows. The moment they crossed the Polish frontier into Russia and settled in Moscow in a flat on Gorky Street, we lost all trace of them, sir.
Great leaping lurgies.
Oh,
The British people mustn't learn a word of all this.
Arr, arr.
Publish a white paper about drains and have the Albert Memorial retouched. But wait a minute. If they only have the female salami, it's no good to them without the male.
On the contrary, Professor Pavlov, the off-white Russian scientist. is about to perfect a synthetic imitation Russian-speaking Tuscan male salami that may completely deceive the unsuspecting female.
Dad, then there's not a moment to be lost. McGregor?
Arr, arr.
Take me to the launderette.
Arr, 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 arr.
The sound of bagpipes has been specially added for Scottish listeners. And now, the Tuscan salami scandal part...
Hang on a minute. I've got a beautiful boy singer here. He's got a song you never heard nothing like in all your natural. It's a marvellous new wonder song. It's safe from my own county down in the old island. Melody's got feeling, pathos, Samos, Guernsey, Rockall and Sark. Oh, I'm referring to the old Graham Sark, of course. This boy had his tonsils specially sprayed with Footo, the wonder boot exploder. Not yet, Adolphus, not yet. Save it. He's dead key, this boy, dead key. North Korean Johnny Ray, I'm not kidding. Never put a tonsil wrong. Here, I'll tell you, you've got the cultured talking voice, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, talk this bit, what I read here. Talk that.
Presenting Adolphus Spriggs, the voice of mediocrity, direct from his triumph in Loo, near Leslie and Regent Street, in the wonder song, I'm Walking Backwards for Christmas. Take it away, boy.
Can I have my introduction, please? Singing the song at the same time, at no extra charge. I'm a walking backwards for Christmas.
I'd love to give you an encore, but I'm too expensive. Thank you.
Three months have passed away, and so fortunately has Adolphus Spriggs. And no news yet of the missing diplomats or the kidnapped salami. With Italy threatening war...
Yes, yes.
Shut up, King of
Italy.
Shut up, Eccles.
With Italy threatening war, the breeding of ground-to-ground missiles at a standstill, and with Arsenal 3, Tottenham 2, the situation was desperate.
Yes. And what's more, from the zoo itself came the zoo manager himself bearing grave tidings.
Hello. Oh, this is serious.
What is?
I just split my leopard skin tights. That leopard will never be able to wear them again.
Stop these animal-type jokes. Are you really the manager of the zoo?
Yeah, all them wild animals. I'm in charge.
No wonder they're wild.
What?
Now, what's the trouble?
Oh, well, where am I? Oh, the chairman of the Zoological Society asked me to see you.
He did?
Yep. He wants you to fill a vacancy. Oh. Step in his cage.
Don't be a Charlie. My soup's on fire.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, he wanted me to give you this telephone.
Why?
He's on the other end.
Hello?
I say, look here. I'm speaking from the elephant house.
Oh, a trunk call.
The elephants don't wish to know about that. It's this male salami.
You mean old Fred?
Yes, yes. He's starting to pine. You see, he's shrunk quite a bit already. And if we don't get Gina back quick, he'll be down to the size of a small frankfurter.
That's no good as a guided missile.
Yes, yes.
Leave it to me. I'll think of something. I've got it. We must send two absolutely trustworthy Foreign Office types to Russia to steal Gina back again. Hello? Labor exchange?
Yes.
Can you send up two absolutely trustworthy Foreign Office types for top secret duty?
Oh, you might
call it. Thank you.
Sorry we're late, Neddy, but we only just got the message.
The Pristy stolen salami. What do you want us for?
Just a minute. What are your names?
I'm Gridpipe Finn, former gypsy saxophonist to the House of Romanov, and temporary railway saboteur of the Russian railways, and my friend here is Count Serge Moriarty.
Serge?
Only because he couldn't afford flannel.
Oh, I see. Now, are you sure that you're both utterly trustworthy patriotic Englishmen and unimpeachable security risks?
My dear sir, our Union Jacks are at the same laundrette as yours.
Proof positive.
But wait, dear listeners. How do these complete strangers know that my private Union Jack was at the laundrette? Is someone talking indiscreetly?
Wait here, gentlemen. Wait here. Help yourselves to a glass of samovar from the saucepan and the hob.
He's gone.
Quick.
Rifle his desk, photograph the plans of the Mayor's salami, telephone the Kremlin, and mine that bus to Queen Victoria.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'll play two quick choruses of When I'm Cleaning Windows on my leather euphonium just to cover any noise. Now get going.
Right, here you are.
Stop!
Look what I found.
Let me see. Moriarty, you've done a great day's work.
So that's why I'm feeling tired.
You Siberian spy, do you know what this paper is? It's the plans of a female salami.
But we don't need them.
What?
Our agents, Burgess and McTeith, took Gina, the female salami, with them to Moscow.
That's what the world and Beaverbrook thinks. The truth is quite otherwise. Those fools, Burgess and McTeith, got hungry on the way and ate the only female Tuscan salami this side of the spaghetti curtain.
So Christian noodles, then the male salami's no good.
Not at all. You know, the fiendish Professor Pavlov has already nearly completed an artificial male salami. With these plans of the female, he can breed a million more and bombard Soho with its own deadly kind.
Christy, then this means...
Yes, the Tuscan Salami Scandal Part 3, which begins with a substitute for Ray Ellington.
That's me, folks. Presenting Lenny Seagoon with his 1909-type phonographic request recital, complete with a set of non-explodable records. Curse, a dud. Well, first of all, for Mrs. Hieronymus Clun of 4 the Villas, Cleethorpe Sinks...
Here is the very record she hasn't asked for. The Rites of Spring by Rimsky-Korsakov, played by the Gulfstream Tea Room Quartet from the oblique position. Thank you. Songs my mother loved. Now you know why Father shot her. And now Private Wretch of the 4th Mud Guards has asked for a record of his sergeant falling down a manhole. And here it is, accompanied without orchestra by Geraldo. Ah! Ah, yes. Patriots all. Now on the serious side, Elsie Sprague and Gladys Legg of Rowton House Champagne Bar have asked for a record of Sir William Kludge conducting the Four in Jeopardy with knee bracket accompaniment and silent dogs with the mass bands of the Hybrid Sparkies Banjo Society and the 4th Coolies Harmonica Chorus, recorded in the natural surroundings of the living room of Jim Davidson's saxophone parlor and part-time egg hatchery with a solo by Ravitz and Landor. Well, Elsie and Gladys, we haven't got it. But here is a record of Fred Clute and his Nubian monsters playing cribbage. Thank you. Finally, Miss Fruina Kellogg would like to hear Sabrina sing. So would I. Good night, housewives, and once again, a Merry Christmas!
And so, Neddy Seagoon packs his horn-type phonograph and collection of chipped cardboard records. Leaving behind his plasticine needle, he hurries to consult the head of MI5, Sir Henry Crun, to make a double security check on Grippipe Finn and Moriarty.
Why must people call in the middle of the night? Why can't they come at a reasonable time? Men?
What? Yes, buddy.
Somebody knocking, men.
Yes, and yes. Somebody knocking.
Why, one of us will have to answer the door, me.
Oh, you answer it, Henry. I can't find my boot in the dark.
Well, then turn on the light, me.
I can't, Henry.
Why not?
When it's dark, I can't find the light.
I've just had a clever idea, Minnie.
What? Have you, Henry?
Yes, Min dear. It is a very clever idea.
Oh. How did you come to think of it, Henry?
It came to me when I was thinking about... Min?
Yes, Henry?
I've forgotten what it was I was thinking about when I got the idea.
Never mind, Henry. What was the idea?
Forgotten, Min.
Oh.
Min?
Yes, Henry?
He stopped knocking.
Perhaps he's gone away, buddy.
Dear, what a pity.
Why, Henry?
I just remembered the clever idea.
What was it, Henry?
Well, we should throw the key out of the window.
Oh, that was a clever idea, Henry.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? Yes. Oh, dear.
No. Dear. Henry. Supposing he comes back.
Oh, he won't be able to get in, Mingle. You can't get in without the key, you know. You must have the key to get in.
But he hasn't got the key, Henry.
What key, Mingle?
The key to the door.
Well, then he won't be able to get in.
No, Henry. I know that.
He must have the key, Min, otherwise he can't get through the door.
No, but you've got the key, Henry.
Yes, then he can't get in. He must have the key, you know. You can't get in without keys. You can't get...
Why don't you throw the key out of the window, Henry?
Oh, that's an idea, isn't it?
A clever idea.
Yes,
clever.
How did you ever think of such a clever idea?
What idea, Henry?
The idea that... What was the idea?
I don't know. I have no idea, Henry.
But you said you had one, Min.
Had one what?
What I'm asking you.
What are you asking me about?
You stupid old...
What?
I was asking...
Don't you start shouting at me again. Once round the room does me good, you know. Oh, dear.
He's knocking again, me.
No, I know, Henry, I know.
One of us will have to answer the door, me.
You answer it, Henry. I can't find my boot in the dark.
Hey! Hey, lad! You don't want to come down? Throw me the key and I'll let yourself in.
Throw him the key, Henry.
That's a very clever idea, man. I'll just open the window. Watch out! Here it comes.
Dash it! I missed it! It's gone down the drain!
Dear, they've fallen down the drain. Now he can't get in, Min. He can't get in without the key, you know. I wish he hadn't come. Why did he have to come,
Min? I don't know, Cron. You'd better ask him. I don't know.
I don't. That's an idea. I'll ask him, yes. I say, why did you come?
Well, aren't you Sir Henry Cron, head of MI5?
He wants to know if I'm Henry Cron, Min.
Well, tell him.
I've got to tell you, I'm Henry Cron, head of MI5. What do you want, sir?
Do you know anything about two men called Gritpipe Finn and Moriarty?
Do I know anything about two men called Gritpipe Finn and Moriarty?
Yes,
Min?
You do, Henry, yes.
Yes, I do, Henry. I can't hear him.
No, it must be.
We should never have come to live here at the top of the Albert Hall, you know.
Give him an evasive answer. Tell him to clear off, buddy.
Clear off, buddy.
Clear off.
The fools! Can anyone here tell me anything about Gritpipe Finn and Moriarty?
No, can my captain. Enter Blue Bottle with large burning stride. Springs into air. Spring! Hey! You left that man, old camera.
Never mind, Tiny Nerk. I'll join you. Now ring out those wet socks and tell me what you know.
Now, bear terrible news, my captain. Them two naughty men's, Mr. Sin and Mr. Moronantes. A wicked type Russian Tsar spies. They've stolen your plans of Mrs. Salami and are fleeing the country in a captive balloon. Look, there it is now.
Quick, after them.
Oh,
Bicycling rapidly to Victoria coach station, Seagoon hired a self-drive Sharabang with anti-spy hook and forced jet salami gun. In a matter of weeks, they had reached the Chiswick Alps, and the balloon was directly below them.
Look! Look, that balloon! There's something suspicious about it. Hand me my binoculars. Yes, the envelope is addressed to Moscow. You can't fool me. That's no balloon. It's a MiG fighter in bloomers. Driver?
What do you want? I'm in the bath.
We must attract their attention. Send up a smoke signal and tell them to come out with their hands up.
I'm sorry, no smoke signals. This charabang's a fumeless carriage, madam.
I'm not madam.
At your age, it doesn't really matter, does it? Pass the soap, would you?
Then load the salami gun with this ground-to-ground explosive sausage.
Oh, I'm sorry, we haven't got any explosive sausages in stock.
Cardboard courier, blue bottle.
You're getting.
Take your socks off and slide these rockets up your boots.
Yeah, not much ado, madam. Harm can come to a young lad like that. They tickle.
Right, now get into this long barrel.
All right, Erdin. Ah, it's all dark in here. Just let Piccadilly Underground and...
Quick, close the breach. Fire!
Record for you.
Quick, put it on.
Yes, weren't you?
Curse it, missed. We've wasted an entire blue bottle. Wait a minute. Where's that balloon? It's not ahead. It's not astern. It's not on either side of us.
Meanwhile, directly above them...
They're right underneath, Moriarty. Release the piano.
Piano away!
Meanwhile, directly below...
Bloodnock, have you ever had the feeling that you were going to be struck by a piano?
What? Oh, what nonsense. We're not the type.
We found him lying prostrate in the ditch amid the ruins of a bent Bloodnock and a piano. Gently, we raised his feet.
Have they escaped?
No, sir. They were shot by the customs for leaving the country without a piano.
Ah, good work. Then, there's just one question left. Has my Union Jack come back from the laundrette?
Yes.
Good. Lay it over me. This floor is parquet.
And so, we laid him on a parquet floor. And over him, we raised this simple inscription... Sleeping. Call me in time for the next goon show. Da 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 da. That was the Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Spike Milligan, who also wrote the script. We also heard from Adolphus Spriggs, the North Korean Johnny Ray, and the three in Jeopardy, unaccompanied by the orchestra, not conducted by the conductor. The announcer was Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Pat Dixon. Now, ladies and gentlemen, will you please stand for the signature? Mr. Norwich?
We are riding along on the crest of a wave, and the sun is in the sky. All our eyes on the distant horizon, look out for a passersby. We'll do the aiming when all the ships are round us sailing. We are riding along on the crest of a wave, and the world is...